Well, God bless you. Wonderful to be with you tonight. What I want to share with you, I title How to Successfully Minister to the Saints. How to Successfully Minister to the Saints. Now, this is not just for ministers or gift ministries. This is for each and every believer. You know, we live in a world that has great variety to it. All kinds of backgrounds, countries, beliefs, languages, over 2,000 languages, different upbringings, and a wide range of cultures. But when we get born again of God's Spirit, all these differences take a back seat to who we have become as sons of God in the family of God. That's the simplicity and the greatness of each and every born-again believer. They are sons of God in the family of God. We all have taken on the gift of Holy Spirit. We all have Christ within. And we all have a purpose or responsibility in the family business. And let me say that again, because this is the heart of what I want to share with you, that we all, every believer, has a purpose or responsibility in the family business. And let me mention this too. I trust you'll be taking some notes. I'm going to move through a variety of scriptures, so you'll probably only be able to get the reference of those scriptures, and then some other things too. So I encourage you to take some notes. Well, I get it that we all have worldly connections, jobs, responsibilities, family situations, but as born-again Christians, we have a new purpose and responsibility that has been given to us, and that is functioning in the household of God. Now, how can I successfully fulfill my calling in the body of Christ? And that's a great question. If God has called us to function in the body of Christ, what is that functioning? How can I do that? Well, first, let's look at the reality that God has called us. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purposes." We are called according to his purpose. God's purpose for you and me to be in the family of God. And once you have been called to his family, that's it. You cannot get out. You can't sneak away. You can't run away. You can try, but you're still in the family of God. It says in Romans 11:29, "The gifts and calling are without repentance," or as another translation puts it, irrevocable. What does that all mean? It's impossible to take back. That's what God does. He gives us a gift, and he doesn't take it back. So let's take a look at 1 Timothy, if you would. Chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." We've been called with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Isn't that a phenomenal verse? He has called us with a holy calling. My goodness. And it's according to his own purpose and grace that he's done this. And he did this before we even existed. Now, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where he implores us to exercise our calling. The verse says, "He beseeches you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you are called." So we are to, as it says in Philippians 3:14, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we want to do. We want to be so motivated by what God has done for our life to call us in His family and to give us purpose that we press toward that mark for the prize of that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says, "Walk worthy of God who has called you unto His kingdom and glory." Now, Paul exhorts Timothy on the great endeavor of God's calling. In 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses." So we have been called, and what a privilege it is to be called to serve in the body of Christ. Now the question is, so how do I carry out my calling in the body of Christ? How do I minister to the saints in the great family of God? Well, there are four keys that I believe will help you, assist you in carrying out your calling. And these four keys or points I took from a dynamic sharing by Barry Bennett. I think some of you have heard some of his sharings in the past. And I believe these four keys will work for all of us to rise up to our calling and allow us to carry out our purpose in serving within the body of Christ. And let me give you those four keys real quick. I call them the four C's, the letter C. And the first one is communion with the Father. The second is compassion. The third is connection. And the fourth one is confrontation. So let's take a look at each one of those briefly. First and foremost is our fellowship with our Heavenly Father, communion with Him. God works with you as you fellowship with Him, but we need to take the initiative to go to Him, to fellowship with Him, pray to Him. How well do you know the Heavenly Father? Well, you got to spend time with Him. Get into His words so you can know Him. Do you recognize His voice? Well, again, if we spend time with Him, we will recognize when He encourages us or talks to us. So we need to do that which will help us hear our Heavenly Father. You know, speaking in tongues is a great way to put yourself into God gear. When you're speaking in tongues, you're using that Spirit of God, and thereby God could share His heart and thoughts with you. In 1 John chapter 1, let's take a look there. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." When we have fellowship with our Heavenly Father, the fruit of that is our joy will be full. Verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, one person who had a great relationship with God was David, huh? And he's a great example for someone who had a wonderful communion with the Father. And the Psalms displays this quite a bit. Psalm 31:15 says, "My times are in thy hand." And this word time means my affairs. "All my affairs are in thy hand. deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Reading the Psalms, I think, can be real helpful in your communion with the Heavenly Father. Let's look at Psalm 31, verse 19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee," or reverence thee, "which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Isn't that wonderful? So first and foremost, we want to have that intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now next, number two, the next quality or key necessary to successfully minister to the saints or the household of God is compassion. Compassion. Compassion, in a way, really lets people know that you care. If you're compassionate, they see that you are interested in them. Having compassion opens the door to connect with people. Jesus certainly had compassion for people, didn't he? I think of all the different folks that he ministered to and worked with, from Peter's mom to the man in the tombs, from the lady taken in adultery to the man on the cross next to him, from Nicodemus, who saw him one evening. He reached out to each and every person. He had great, great compassion. It says in Matthew 9:36 that he saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. This is repeated in 15:32, where he told his disciples, "I have compassion on the multitude." And in 20:34 of Matthew, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. So we really need to recognize the love of God that we have shed abroad in our hearts and then exercise that love with compassion. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren." Great verse. And then 1 John 3:17, "But whoso hath this world's goods, good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassions from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" You know, if we see somebody that has a need and we have compassion, then we're going to reach out and help them. So compassion is a great point for us to have within our life to develop so that we can really connect with God's people. And that's the third point, connection. Connection. Having the heart of compassion for God's people, then you reach out and connect with them. And people will respond to you as you reach out to them. In Philippians 4, we'll see some of these verses here. Verse 13 you might be familiar with, where it talks about doing all things through Christ who strengthens us. But let's read the context where that verse is said. So verse 11, 4:11 in Philippians says, "Not that I speak in response," or I'm sorry, "in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us because we can handle it. You know, our heart is to serve and to help others. So it's not about what we have, but it's about what we can help other people with. So whatever it takes, we connect with God's people so that we can serve and help and minister to them. Now, the fourth point is confrontation. That might not sound so good, and don't misunderstand me on this. I'm not talking about being judgmental. We are not afraid to deal or stand against the adversary and his ways. If we see situations that we need to get involved with, then we confront them. We jump in and get involved. Confrontation is best served, of course, after you have quality communion with God. And then you have that true compassion for God's people and a heart to connect and communicate with them. And then if confrontation is needed, then it can take place. Remember, even God's word in many places is in the category of reproof and correction. So confrontation is taking a stand on the truth of God's word in every situation. I think of a time when I was in the military up at Camp Pendleton, and I had the opportunity to minister in the hospital, but after a few weeks doing fellowships there, the head chaplain called me into his office, and he was a Navy captain, and I was a lowly lieutenant, and he told me I couldn't minister there. And I told him he's wrong. I've got something very worthwhile to share with these people, and you shouldn't hold me back. And he got a little upset. I'm surprised he didn't throw me in the brig and have me minister there. But I took a stand. You know, I confronted him and what I was doing. Well, Ephesians 4:15, I think, is a great standard by which we confront. And 4:15 says, we speak the truth in love, may grow up in him. So speaking the truth in love, that's what it takes. You know, Jesus Christ took a stand against the devil. And what did he use to take that stand? It is written. And this is when he was in the wilderness for 40 days. The devil really tried to mess him up, but he came back at him with the word of God. Paul took a stand in his time. One example of his boldness was where he would go into the synagogues to minister. And I'm thinking about Acts chapter 19. And he spoke boldly in the synagogues for 3 months, it says. But that door closed for him. So he went to the school of Tyrannus, and it says, for 2 years, quote, all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks, end of quote. So we take a stand on God's word, and we love people. You know, there will be times where you will need to take a stand in love, not being judgmental, but listening to the Heavenly Father to direct your steps in reproof and correction situations. You know, a small example of this happened to me today. I was talking with Jeffrey, and he corrected me on sending him two newsletters. And he said it's a small thing, but I want to save the ministry 55 cents. And I thought that was really a wonderful way to communicate that I sent him two letters and I need to fix my list up there. But all in love, and that's what counts. Well, let's recap here. What does it take, or what can we do to carry out our ministry, God's calling in our life to serve? Okay? And I think these four keys will be very helpful. First thing is communion, right? Fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Have that really wonderful and dynamic. Listen to him. And then have the compassion. Put on his heart in your life and serve God's people. And make those connections. Reach out to people. We do what it takes to connect with those we serve so we can minister to them. And then finally, confront. And if we need to take a stand on God's word on a situation, we speak the truth in love. Okay? Well, that's it. I pray you seek the Father and his calling in your life, and then move ahead with his direction, loving the family of God. Amen?